Okay, good afternoon. So, our plan for today is to do five Mizmorim from 146 to 150, the fifth and final Mizmor. How are we going to do five? Probably by cutting corners. Mm-hmm. So what I mean is, most weeks that we've done this, we've taken a single Mizmor, really focused on structure, noticed some particular images or particular words that were insightful and contributed to an overall sense of meaning. What we're going to be doing here is a little bit different. We'll be studying this unit of five, maybe six, if we include Tehillah LeDavid we studied last week as part of this one unit, looking at some of the major overarching themes or motifs of these five without getting as into the nitty-gritty of individual Mizmorim, though, of course, we'll make some observations as they come up. So I've been talking about these five as a unit. Why do I think they're a unit? I have at least two reasons and probably more. Reason number one that I think they're a unit is because of a lot of shared language between each of these five chapters. You don't need to look very far to find the first examples of that shared language. You start from the very, very first word of Kufnan Vav, hallelujah, and you end that chapter, hallelujah, and you do that for each of these five Mizmorim. Tehillah LeDavid, which we also studied last week, we noted begins and ends with Tehillah, which is that same shoresh of Hallel, of praise, which maybe already makes me think of these as, you know, a unit of, you know, hallelujah prayers that we might have in Tehillim. And throughout, and you'll, if, you know, we're attentive, we might notice some of this. We probably won't point out a ton, but there's a lot of shared imagery or shared language just between 146 to 150. So hallel obviously comes up a great deal. Emphasis on chasidim is something that you see in a couple of mizmorim. And certain themes or images, as we'll note, also seem to come up a great deal. So we'll note that this might be a unit just for internal linguistic reasons, that there's a lot of shared language that you see in Tehillim. The second reason, potentially, to think that they're a unit is articulated really in the first source on our source sheet, which is the Gemara in Masechet Shabbat. And we're going to study this Gemara because there are going to be a couple of insights that it gives us about the nature of this kind of hallel as distinct from other units of prayer. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi says, Yehei chalki, may my portion, so to speak, in the world or in Olam Haba perhaps be, mi gomrei halel b'chol yom, among those who complete halel every day. So gomrei is an interesting word, to complete something. Either it means to finish a unit or maybe to finish Sefer Tehillim. You read the end of the book, so you've completed the book, the last five Mizmorim, six Mizmorim. Ini, says the Gemara, asks the question, is it really so? Is it a good thing to say halal every day? Seems to be a bad thing. V'ha'amar mar, it was stated by another, ha'kore halal b'chol yom, ha'reze mecharef umgadef. One who says halal every day is a blasphemer. They're cursing God by saying halal every day. So how could it be this praiseworthy, righteous thing to say halal each day? It seems to be instead something very seriously religiously negative. And the Gemara answers that question. Kika Amrinan, where we say it's appropriate, the Psuke de Zimra is talking about Psuke de Zimra, which we say every day. And it seems like the core of Psuke de Zimra is the same thing as this Gomrei Halo B'chol Yom. Whatever that refers to seems to be the core of the idea of Psuke de Zimra, which we now have in our Sidurim. So there are a couple of things you have to figure out here. First, what are these halos that we're talking about? There's a kind of halo that seems to be good, a kind of halo that seems to be bad. So what are these different categories, and why might one be good and one be bad? And the second question, which may be a little bit more technical, but we'll see if we can sort of tease this out as well, saying that it's the equivalent of mecharef u'megadef is very, very severe. These are like death penalty-worthy crimes in the Torah, where, you know, it's blasphemy, which is one of the most serious religious sins you can imagine. Saying halal every day, it seems to hard to imagine that it should warrant such a descriptor. So we'll have to try to unpack both of those details as they relate to our unit of halal. So the first question is sort of a technical question, but I think will be relevant to our analysis of the section, which is, what is the Gomrei Halal B'chol Yom? Or what is Psuke de Zimra that we say is appropriate to say every day? So we have two opinions in Rishonim on this question, one of which is, I think, much more intuitive, and one of which is a little bit stranger. The more intuitive opinion is source number three. It's from the Rif, it's quoted in Mitzachas Sofrim and many other sources. What are they? My Nihu. Mitil LeDavid from Kuf Mem, it's really say Kuf Mem Hey, it's a typo. Ad Kol HaNishamat HaHalalka. From Asherei Tehillah LeDavid until the end of the book, which is the section that we'll be looking at today. And that makes a lot of intuitive sense, right? There's a lot of connections between this group of Mizmorim that we noticed. And we'll continue noticing more as well as we study these texts. And it makes sense to say Gomrei Hallel to refer to the unit that concludes Hallel. The more surprising opinion is the position of Rashi, which is source number two. Psuki de Zemra, what are they? Shnei Mizmorim shel Hilulim. These two psalms of praise, of Hallel. Hallelu at Hashem min Hashamayim, which is 148, Kuf Mem Chet. And Hallelu Kel Bekodesho, Hallelu Berkiya Uzo, which is Kuf Nun, which is the final one. Rashi's opinion happens to also have halachic ramifications. For people who come to shul late, which no one ever does, but hypothetically, if someone were to ever come to shul late and have to decide to triage what parts of Psukei Dezimra am I going to say before I catch up to the minyan, so we assume that, you know, the real bare bones is Baruch She'amar Ashrei Yishtabach, and the next thing to add, if we're going to add something, are these two that Rashi mentions, 148 or 150. And they're apparently sui generis, they're unique among this group of Mizmorim, for some reason. At least according to Rashi, and we'll have to figure out exactly why. If you look, there's already a hint in Rashi's language, but we'll flesh it out more fully when we get to look at that section. So okay, so let's work for the moment within not Rashi's opinion, but the Rif's opinion. We have this unit of six Mizmorim. What is wrong with that? What is right about that every day, but wrong with Hallel, which we assume for the moment means, let's say, the Hallel we say in Yom Tov. Right, B'tzei Yisrael mi Mitzrayim, this description of Hashem's, you know, salvation in the past from Mitzrayim, and maybe the future salvation as well. So, what's the difference between these two, and why would you be a mecharefu megadef if you say one and not the other? So, a lot of our analysis today I picked up from a really excellent presentation, an excellent essay from Dr. Benny Gesundheit. He's a scholar in Israel. It's a fantastic series on Tehillim as well, and he really presents a whole methodology for dealing with Tehillim that is what he calls he refers to like the narrative of Tehillim. So he's not interested in what's going on internally to one Mizmor, but to what happens through a series of Mizmorim. Is the book as a whole structured to tell a story? We alluded to that in our very first class, and today we'll have an opportunity to work through some of that issue. But he pointed out that the words Mecharefu Megadef appear as a pair in one place in Tanakh, which is earlier in Sefer Tehillim, in Tehillim Mem Dalet, 44, which is source number 4. Kiyoshatanu mitzareinu mesaneinu havishota, Hashem has saved us and put to shame those who hate us. Belokim hilalnu chol hayom, we've praised him every day. Vishimcha le'olam nodeh, this is very, you know, reminiscent language of, you know, arumcha lochayim melech v'brachashimcha lo'an ve'ed, b'chol yom avrachecha, very reminiscent of the beginning of Kuf Mem Hei. But here it seems to be bad in this mizmor. Avzanachta, you've brought us humiliation. V'tachli menu, v'lo teitzei b'tzivoteinu, you have not come out to help us. Tishivenu achor mineitzaru, misaneinu, shasu lamo. He seems to have sided with our enemies and given us over to them. So it's we mentioned that we seem to have praised God, and for some reason that seems to be bad. We're being punished almost for doing that, or at the very least our praise isn't being received properly. Kol hayom klimati negdi uvoshet panai kisatni. I praise God every day, but my shame is brought to my attention every single day as well. In pasuk tzayin, and then finally pasuk tzayin, mikol mecharef umgadef bivnei oyev umitnakem. Mecharef umgadef here as well. The halal b'chol yom that you have in Mizmor Mem Dalet seems to be problematic or insufficient, in some way lacking, and in some way equivalent to these serious religious failures. As opposed to the Hallel B'chol Yom that David HaMelech starts with, B'chol Yom Avarachecha V'alala Shimcha L'olam Be'ed, that seems very positive. So this claim, or this tension you see in the Gemara and Shabbos, is also a tension in Tehillim itself, between these two different kinds of Hallel. So what's the difference? Why is some Hallel good every day, some Hallel bad every day? And I think part of the answer, and we'll see it articulated more fully in Meshech Chachma, has to do with what exactly the content of the Hallel is. Hallel that we say on Chagim, let's say we say it Chagim or Rosh Chodesh tomorrow already, is half Hallel, so okay, right, it's a little more complicated. If this were a halachic shiur, we'd, you know, talk about the source for Hallel and different days of the year. But there, that seems to be a historical Hallel. It's praise for things that happened in the past, for all the great Hashem has done for us then, and praise for specific historical events that were involved. So the specific event of Yetzia Mitzrayim yields a certain amount of praise. The specific event of Kriyat Yam Suf is something that's important for us. However, as we'll see, the Hallel we say every day is focused much more on things that are yom yomi, that are daily occurrences, that are constant as opposed to historical, and perhaps even a little bit more forward-facing than backwards-facing. So a Hallel every day that focuses perhaps on the past, perhaps on only miracles in the past, is a little bit lacking. But a Hallel every day that focuses on the present and the future, and that focuses on ways in which Hashem is constantly involved in the world, is a more appropriate Hallel, at least a more constructive one, and maybe one that is more appropriate. Meshach Chachma articulates at least part of this idea very nicely in verse number 5. He's talking about a pasuk in Vayikra that, you know, circles back to Ashrei and then to the rest of these Mizmorim as well. Lachen ha'omer Hallel ha'gadol b'chol yom. If you say Hallel ha'gadol each day, shemoresh ra'ui lehodot rak al hanach pu'ulot al darach nes. If you're saying Hallel every day, you're focusing on miraculous historical occurrences. That's what you give praise to Hashem for. So if I'm saying it every day, I'm putting that front and center and taking, you know, putting other things in the back seat. Aval mifalot ha'teva, the works of nature, ein tzrichim lahayotzer achar shabaran. That Hashem doesn't need to be involved in them anymore. So do I need to praise Hashem for nature? No, if you think this. I only need to praise Hashem for the obviously divine intervention that we see every day, or we see in historical events, rather. So if you think that, hariz din mecharif u'megadef, there you are a blasphemer. Aval kol ha'omer tehillah ledavid b'chol yom, shezeh medaber al mifalot sidur ha'tivi asher b'chol yom kamavuar. If you praise Hashem every day for the natural daily cycles, that's a great thing. Muftachshu ben olam haba. We saw that source from a Gemara in Brachot last time. And the same, I think, is true for this whole unit, this whole section. He's alluding to this Gemara, though he's not quoting it explicitly in this section. And now he articulates a little bit more fully what the difference is between miraculous events and natural events. Miraculous events, he says, are not min ha'pela. They're not so surprising. Perhaps not so surprising because Hashem created the world, so it's not that he's bound to nature such that it's hard for him to intervene miraculously. And they're one-time events usually, or maybe even he mentions the man, but that's also a sort of temporary event. So that's impressive, that's really great, and that's worthy of Hallel once in a while, on Chagim and whatnot. But actually running a system of nature that sustains the world as we know it, that's much more impressive. Aval ha'inyan ha'nifla b'hateva hu ha'hazana ha'tmidi. The constant nourishment of the world, the constant sustaining of the world is what's really wondrous. Shezeh kiyum ha'nimtzayim v'arkavat ha'nifradim, keeping all of us alive and healthy in the ways that we are. U'v'derech tiv'i kol yom kavua hazana la'alfei alafim b'li mispar nimtzayim. The keeping the thousands, he says, b'li mispar, the uncountable, you know, thousands of thousands of creatures that exist alive. Now we're, you know, thousands of thousands of thousands already. I think last week we hit 8 billion. This is a big milestone for us. So now it's thousands of thousands of thousands, right? Billions of creatures alive. That's just humans, forgetting all sorts of other living creatures. That is hu poel mora al chachmo shlimut. It really attests divine wisdom that you could create a system that was able to work for all of us. The natural world is, he doesn't even mention the fact that the natural world is a beautiful place or a place full of pleasure, gives us a world that is enjoyable. Just the fact that it works, that beings are able to exist in the system, is incredibly impressive of God. Right? He doesn't use the word miraculous. He says it's wise, but you might say miraculous in the sense that we mean the term, meaning it's beyond our comprehension. The creating a system that works like this. And then when you need to break the rules to give man to someone or to take it out of Mitzrayim, so you break the rules. But the rules themselves are also a big part of the praise of Hashem that is worthy. And so we think about the difference between these two halalim. The emphasis of Hallel on Yom Tov is Hallel in this miraculous context. We're praising Hashem in very unique, maybe high moments of salvation, but usually moments in the past, usually moments of miracles that you don't expect on a daily basis. Whereas the Psukei Dezimra, one of the guiding themes, at least according to this Gemara, this Meshach Chachma, is the praise on the daily cycles, the daily experiences, or the natural world that we experience, which makes a great deal of sense to say that on a daily basis and not reserving it for specific times of year. So that's, I think, what we'll say about this now. There's, you know, we'll notice a little bit more, because as we go through the Mizmorim, we'll also see that one of the themes is emphasis on the future, maybe there's a certain amount of progress that we're making as well. So it's not just the nace versus nature dichotomy, but it's also the past versus future dichotomy. But I think within the Meshech Chochma, this gives an account for that Gemara and one aspect of this unit that we'll notice. The second thing to notice about the unit is pointed out by a commentary that appears to be from the Rashbam. I'm not certain about that, but it seems to be quoted from the Rashbam in source number 6. He's talking at the very beginning of Tehillah LeDavid, and he says, Lekach kori oto Tehillah. Why is it called a Tehillah? Remember, it's the only one called a Tehillah in Sefer Tehillim. Levisha min Tehillah LeDavid at Sofa Sefer, lo timtabo afilu teva achat lashon bakasha. There are no requests from here till the end of the book. And we'll pay attention. We'll see that that's going to be the case. There's no request anymore. Some of the Mizmorim we saw earlier in the year had that focus, but now we don't anymore. Ela hakol lashon shavach v'hu utehila. It's all words of praise. I say this is Rashbam. It's quoted in a manuscript that isn't a commentary on Tehillim, but it's quoted from Rashbam as related to this pasuk. And so that also opens the door to understanding these Mizmorim a little bit. In as much as they are all unambiguously and universally texts of praise, right? They're not focusing on requests. Even the idea of thanksgiving is not really so present. It's not thanks Hashem for making a world that's so wonderful. It's Hashem, you're so amazing. You made a world so wonderful. And that emphasis, I think, is a really important one for Rashbam, and definitely important when we think about the term hallelujah or hallelujah that's going to be so present in this unit. Okay. So I think all of that really falls sort of by way of introduction. What are we expecting from this set of chapters, the set of Mizmorim? We're expecting praise. We're expecting praise for things that are constant or things that are in the future, things that we look forward to. We're not requesting things. We're done with that part of Tehillim now. It only took us 144 chapters to finish, but finally, 145, we're done asking for things and we're just ready to thank Hashem. And that may also fit with some of the idea of the book. What we'll do now is I'll offer one final sort of framing idea that Dr. Gesundheit suggested as well, and then we'll sort of skim in, you know, not such a deep detail, these five Mizmorim, note some of the major themes or the major movement that we have. So Dr. Gesundheit's final point before we start looking at the Mizmorim is that the unit that we have of six Mizmorim can be broken up into 1 and 5. Kuf Mem Hei, Tila LeDavid, you know, what we call Ashrei, that is David HaMelech, and as we described last week, he's calling the world to praise God, and starting from a personal Avar HaShem Chal Olam Ve'ed to the more universal Tilat HaShem Yedaber Piv Yivarech Kol Basar Hashem Gatol Olam Ve'ed, so inviting us to open to the world these doors of Hallelujah. For the rest of the Mizmorim, Dr. Gesundheit suggests, this is sort of our responding to that call that David HaMelech made, responding to that need to praise, and that's partially reflected in a lot of shared language we see throughout the Mizmorim. And also, we'll notice a lot of the themes that came up in Ashrei are also going to be repeated in different ways in some of these Mizmorim. So, just to allude to one example now, with the very end of Tehillah LeDavid, you have the line that begins with Shin, Shomer Hashem et kol ohavav, et kol harasha'im yashmid. And that felt, we noted last time, a little bit jarring, right? Kind of discordant with most of the universal theme that we saw throughout the rest of the Mizmor. This idea of the Rishaim being undercut or defeated appears in at least a couple of the other Mizmorim. So in Kuf Mem Vav, the very second to last pasuk, Hashem Shomer Et Gerim Yatom Va'Almana Yodeid, V'Derech Rishaim Ya'Avet. It's a bit weird. But again, it's sort of repeating that same theme. You have maybe a reference to that as well at the end of Kuf Mem Zayin, and then maybe most explicitly, this idea of undercutting the wickedness of other nations in Kuf Mem Tet. La'asot nikama bagoyim, we're getting our vengeance, so to speak, among the other nations. Tochichot balumim, lesor malchehem bezikim v'nechbedeyem b'chavlei barzal, binding the nobles of all these other nations. So this one theme of constraining or undercutting Rishaim seems to be present in several of these areas, as well as the idea, and we could start with Kuf Mem Vav, of Hashem supporting the entire world, being a major motif that appeared both in Ashrei and in the rest. So these five are picking up on a lot of the themes of Kuf Mem Hei and kind of actualizing them. David's calling to us to start praising God, and we're saying, yes, let's praise God in this way and that way and the other way. With that, I think it makes sense to start looking at this collection of Mizmorim, just noting some of the major themes and major movement that we have here. So we start with Kuf Mevav, Hallelujah, Halleli Nafshi Et Hashem. So we're immediately hammering home this idea of Hallel a couple of times. Al Halala Hashem Bechayai, Azamra Hashem Lelukai Beodi. Three times on those first two psukim. You'll notice that the first pasuk is singular. Al Halala Hashem Bechayai. We noted that in Ashrei as well, that we start in the singular and move towards a more universal understanding. One major theme of Kuf Mevav, and we're on page 72 of our Sidurim for anyone following along, is not trusting in Hashem, in man, and instead trusting in Hashem. So we can't trust in man. Al tiftechu b'nivim, b'ven adam she'en lo tshuah, teitzi rucho yashuv la'amato. When a man dies, he will return to the earth. Bayom ha'hu abdu esh donotav. His intentions or thoughts will just vanish as soon as he dies. Hashem doesn't have that problem. Ashrei shekel Yaakov be'ezro, sivro al Hashem alokav. If you trust in Hashem and not in human beings, you're in a much better place. Because, hey, Hashem, Oseh Shamayim Ba'aretz, Etayam Vet Kol Esher Bam. We'll see that there's this relevance of Shamayim and Aretz in Kuf Mem Chet in a little bit. So Hashem created the entire world, Hashomer Emet Le'olam. And here's how he helps us, in great detail. Oseh Mishpat La'ashukim, Noten Lechem La'ra'ivim, Hashem Matir Asurim. We know some of this from Birchot HaShachar as well. Hashem Bokeach Yivrim, Hashem Zokev Kufim, Hashem Ohev Tzadikim. Everything we saw at the end of Ashrei, we're seeing kind of repeated here, all the ways that Hashem supports the entire world, supports those who need help, and in great detail, everyone who is in a low position is being helped by Hashem, including Hashem Shomer Et Geirim, Yatom Va'almana Ye'oded, are all being supported. And then Derech Rasha'im Ye'aved. So we noted that appeared in Ashrei, it appears here as well. I think here it becomes a little bit clearer that what does it mean to undercut Rasha'im? It means undercut Rasha'im in as much as they're impairing the ability of tzaddikim to thrive. So, ha'yatod va'amana ye'odei will support those who are being oppressed, and those who oppress them, well, they're going to be, their intentions will be tilted here. Ye'aveit means to sort of bend or to turn crooked. So we have this shift, we're undercutting rasha'im because they're impeding tzaddikim. And we conclude, Yimloch Hashem le'olam, alokayach tzion, ledor vador haleluka. And now we're opening the we're expanding our net again. Right? We're not talking personally anymore or about individuals who might choose to trust in God or praise God. Now we're calling to everyone else. Yimloch Hashem le'olam, Elokayich Tzion. We're talking to all of Tzion, meaning the Jewish people or the Jewish people in Yerushalayim. There might be reason to think that there's a Shivat Tzion connection. I'll point out in just a second, but we'll look at Kuf Mem Zayin first. Kuf Mem Zayin, the next Mizmor, Ki Tov Zamra Elokeinu, Ki Na'im Navatila. A lot of these begin with talking about how appropriate it is to praise God. And if I remember from last time, we noted that Ashrei and these Mizmorim as well have a little bit of this tension between specifically praising Hashem, look at all the great things you do, and articulating that it is appropriate to praise Hashem. Right? When you hear someone, call it hallelujah. Right? So that seems to be an act of praising God. It means praise God. So the very fact that we think God should be praised may itself be a kind of praise, and it also means acknowledging the fact that we feel a need to praise Hashem. And that's not exactly the same as actually doing it, but it is a part of the awareness that we're meant to sort of get from these Mizmorim. So anyway, so we mentioned that tension, and we'll see it a little bit more clearly in Kuf Mem Chet in just a moment. We took Kuf Mem Zayin, and all of a sudden we see Bonei Yerushalayim Hashem. Hashem builds Yerushalayim. It's interesting, right? David is either pre-Yerushalayim, if he's writing this Mizmor beforehand, or he's living in a developed Yerushalayim, maybe without a Beit HaMikdash. And Idchei Yisrael Yechanes, and this one's even harder. He's sort of gathering in the dispersed members of Bnei Yisrael. So it's psukim like this, and we'll see a few more. Any reference to this kind of relationship to Yerushalayim makes me think that this might be one of those later Mizmorim that we talked about, or at least one that focuses a little bit more on the future, a little bit more on kibbutz galiyot. You'll notice also we're talking communally. We're talking about the nation of Israel coming together to being able to praise God, and Hashem's support for the nation of Israel specifically, as opposed to in the previous Mizmor, which had almost no reference to Jewish-specific causes. Sort of unpacking this Mizmor will be a little bit tricky, just because there's so much here. But this emphasis, first of all, on on supporting Yerushalayim and rebuilding that. You still have more references to nature, again, like Monem Isparla Kochavim, Hashem created this nature that's so hard to understand, and references to his support of those who are in need. So Me'odet Anavim Hashem, and by contrast again, Mashpil Rishaim Adearet, so a kind of divine justice in the world. If we were going to do this one in great depth, we would note that this seems to be a cycle that goes on several times in the Mizmor. Four sort of major units. Praise Hashem, then a reference to Yerushalayim and to supporting that. Then Hashem's control and role in nature. And finally, Hashem's role in supporting people who are in need. And that cycle seems to be repeated three times in the Mizmor, if we're looking at the overall structure there. So we have Bonei Yerushalayim here, a little bit later, Shabachi Yerushalayim et Hashem, Halali Elokayach Tzion. Then later, the helping those people who are in need. Reference to nature, Hanotin Shelek Katzemer, Kaporka Efer Yefazer, Mashlich Karchoch Hefitim, Lefnei Karato Mi'amod, Hashem's power over the forces of cold in nature. And finally, references to supporting those who are in need. So that cycle seems to be repeated a couple of times throughout Mizmor Kuf Mem Zayin. And again, we shift from individual to sort of group praise, which I think is being somewhat reflected here. Kuf Mem Chet. Kuf Mem Chet is really nice because the structure breaks down very, very clearly into two units. You start off, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hashem min Hashamayim, Hallelujah Bamromim. We praise Hashem in the heaven. And we see Hallelujah over and over and over again. Hallelujah b'chol melechav, Hallelujah kol tzva'av, Hallelujah shemesh v'yareach, kol kokh ve'or, shemei ha-shamayim, amayim ha-shamei ala shamayim. All of the things going on in heaven, praise Hashem. And we see Hallelujah many, many times. Rashi before called this one of the two mizmorim of Hilulim. Kuf Mem Chet focuses on the need to praise Hashem and the importance of that praise. And this, with Kuf Nun, which also has that repeated shorash so many times, are two Rashi's two paradigms of Psukei Dezimra. For Rashi, the point is just the praise, not specifically praising Hashem, but the need to praise or the idea of praise is central. And that's why these two Mizmorim, which hammer home Hallelujah 10, 13 times each, definitely get that emphasis. Then you shift. Yalalu Hashem Hashem Kiyu Tzivav Nivra'u. Hashem created this orderly celestial system. Vayimidem La'ad La'olam Chok Natan V'lo Ya'avor. Now we shift. Hallelujah Hashem, not min ha'shamayim, but min ha'aretz. And this is the second side. Not only the things in heaven need to praise Hashem, but the things on earth. Tananim v'chol tehomot, eshu varad, sheleg v'kitur, ruach sa'ara, used dvaro, some natural forces, even nature itself, haharim v'chol gva'ot, eitz peri v'chol arazim, trees and mountains and forests, and living creatures, chaya v'chol behema, remes v'sipor kanaf, human beings, chayeretz v'chol lu'umim, sarim v'chol shoftei aretz, v'achurim v'gam tulot zekinim yimna arim, they should also praise Hashem. Yihallu etchem Hashem, ki nizgav shemo levado, and to conclude, ho doval aretz v'shamayim. There's one difference, though, between these two units that's worth noting. In the first unit, we have Hallelujah over and over and over again. Hallelujah appears maybe 8 or 9 times in the beginning of the Mizmor. In the second half, Hallelujah Hashem min ha'aretz, and then we stop saying Hallelujah. It's not Hallelujah chaya behema, it's Hallelujah malchei eretz v'chol lu'umim. We don't repeat it many times. It sounds like Shemayim is a little bit better at praising Hashem than we are. Right? It's kind of funny, because we don't think of the celestial bodies as being agents of praise, but the Mizmor here is describing that they, in whatever way they praise God, are very good at it. I think the implication is, the orderly system of celestial bodies, the consistency with which the whole system of the sky works, is itself a testament to God's glory and a praise to God, so to speak. And that's Choknatam v'lo yavor. That doesn't change. On earth, things aren't so perfect yet. We're trying, right? We already individually in Kuf Mem Vav and communally in Kuf Mem Zayin, we're trying to praise God, but we're still working at it. We're still getting better. But we have hope for the future, and we're seeing, plus the references to Yerushalayim we mentioned before, now here as well. Vayarim Karen Le'emo, Tehila L'chol Chasidav, Livnei Yisrael Am Krovo, Hallelujah. Bnei Yisrael, Le'amo, where his Chasidim are all being... We're hoping and expecting that they'll be able to bring up the Aretz and bring them up to the level of Hodol Eretz v'Shamayim to be able to join Shamayim in their perfect ideal praise of Hashem. It's worth noting, and I saw this also because Dr. Gesinde pointed it out, that source number 7 is a section from the Septuagint, the manuscript of the Septuagint. The Septuagint is the Greek translation of Tanakh. I don't really know as much about the Septuagint as I should. Obviously, we all should know a great deal about it. But he pointed out one interesting observation about these three Mizmorim. In each of these, I don't really need Greek. If anyone reads Greek, I'll send you this link.
What is Septuagint?
The Septuagint is a Greek translation of Tanakh, both the Jewish Bible and the Christian Bible. It dates pretty early, right? So you might call it one of the very first interpretations of Tanakh that we have is in this translation, kind of like interpretation. Part of it we know from a story in the Gemara and Masechet Megillah about how 70 elders were responsible for translating the Torah into Greek. What we have at the Septuagint might be partially based on that, partially based on other things. It seems in the Gemara they're only translating Torah, not necessarily, Ketuvim, for example. But so in this Greek translation of Tehillim, they sometimes add, before chapters of Tehillim, different descriptors of either who or when this might have been written. And in front of these three Mizmorim, and these three red lines that you see in the Greek, it says, Hallelujah, and then it says, a psalm of Aegeus and Zacharias. I think that's how my Greek is really lacking. Who are these people? They're Haggai and Zechariah. So at least whoever wrote this translation of Tehillim into Greek thought that these Mizmorim have some Shivat Zion aspect, right? Haggai and Zechariah are some of the leading prophets who are responsible for rebuilding or bringing back the Galiot Bavel into Yerushalayim for the second Beit HaMikdash period. So if we'll take this source seriously, which I think we could at least as an interpretation, that to read certain themes of Geula into it, I think makes a great deal of sense. The focus on Vayarem Karen La'amo, Tilal Lachol Chasidav, we were dispersed in Galiot Bavel and we're being brought back now to rebuild the Beit HaMikdash and sort of fulfill, the renewed mission we're hoping for. And if we were doing some of the Sifrei Shivat Zion together, there's a lot of that theme that you see in Tanakh and Sfarim like Ezra and Nehemiah, parts of Yeshayahu and other Nevi'im Achronim, and maybe also in Tehillim that are now connecting us to some of these themes, right? David's inviting us to rebuild, to praise God, and we're saying, yeah, let's do that now in the newly reconstituted Yerushalayim that we're going to be engaging with. So I think it's really worth noting that as a sort of interesting interpretation or interesting connection to a broader historical theme. This is something that Dr. Gesundheit develops in great deal because he reads all of Tehillim in this historical fashion, which we're not doing now, but it's worth seeing at least bits of that idea. Okay, we'll take a look at Kuf Mem Tet and Kuf Nun, kind of wrap up this overall survey. So Kuf Mem Tet, Shir Lashem Shir Chadash. Also, maybe this theme of renewal now. We're singing a new song, a song that had not been sung before. We're in this somewhat creative process. In the previous Mizmor, we talked about praising Hashem through nature, or nature praising Hashem. Here, we're focusing a little bit more on history. Yismach Yisrael Ba'osav, B'nei Tzion Yagilu B'Malkam, a reference to the Melech. We should sing to the Melech. And we have this connection to Hashem that's reflected in this Mizmor. And a certain amount of faith also being described here. Ya'alzu chasidim b'chavod, yiraninu al mishkevotam. But the chasidim, who we mentioned, tilato b'kal chasidim, and ya'alzu chasidim b'chavod, they also are taking action, and they're trying to accomplish something now, right? Maybe if this is a historical reference, we're talking about movements towards the ultimate geula in the world. Romamot keil bigronam, they speak the praises of Hashem, but the cherev pipiot beyadam, they're holding a sword with two mouths. Pipiot has two mouths, meaning it's double-edged. It's a very sharp sword on both sides. There may also be a pun here, cherev pipiot, we're talking about praising Hashem with our mouths, so a reference to mouths and the sword may also be appropriate. And what are they doing with this sword? La'asot nekama bagoyim tochechot balumim, la'asot malcheim bezikim v'dechmeleim b'chavlei razal. We're sort of punishing or bringing mishpat, la'asot behem mishpat katuv, to bring judgment upon those who need judgment brought upon them. So chasidim trust in God and praise God, and they also take action to advance Hashem's will in the world. How do we think of this, right? We're talking about it, at least in Ashrei, and as well we'll see in the next one's more, a kind of universal vision of praising Hashem, so why would we be thinking about it in terms of punishing other nations? So I think, you know, part of the theme here is our relationship with other nations haven't been very positive. Usually other nations come and are invading us and afflicting us. And we're happy to invite them to join us in this universal praise of Hashem, but number one, within a framework where we are no longer fearful of them, have to be worried about our own survival or the stability of our own malchut in Israel from them. And also one where there's mishpat going on, right? The idea of a universal eschatological vision, a vision for the future where we all praise Hashem together, it isn't one where evildoers get off scot-free. It's one where mishpat ketuv is imposed. And that is hadar hu l'chol chasidav. That's the glory of the chasidim of Hashem, those who serve Hashem and are loyal to Him, that mishpat should happen in the world. It's not only that we just forgive everyone and, you know, it all becomes, you know, magically peaceful, but we have mishpat, we have justice, we have fairness and truth, and then we come together in this praise of Hashem that we want. That ultimate praise of Hashem is reflected very clearly in Kuf Nun. Right? If Kuf Mem Chet had a lot of the hilulim that Rashi mentioned, Kuf Nun is literally all hilulim. Every pasuk has multiple references, 2 to 3 in each pasuk. Hallelujah, hallelujah, kel b'kodesho, halleku b'kiyuzo, over and over. Hallelujah in every pasuk, at least once again, if not twice. There's a lot of references to Hallel. You, I think, don't need me to emphasize that. There, again, you could, if you count all of them, I think you have 13 of them is more as a whole. And you could give all sorts of drashot about the Yud Gimel Midot Harachamim or other things based on those 13. But it speaks very much to this universality of praise. In the previous Mizmorim, we talked about praising Hashem as individuals, Ahalala Hashem B'chayai, we talked about praising Him as Am Yisrael, Vayaram Keren La'amot, Tila L'chol Chasidav, the Chasidim maybe praise Hashem. Now it's just everyone and everything, and there's nothing but Hallel in the world. And there are two sides of that. The first part in this Mizmor is what we praise Hashem for. Halukel B'kodesho, His sanctity. Birkia Uzo, His heavens. Bigvurotav, Kirov Gudlo. Certain aspects of Hashem are worthy of praise. His strength, His might, His power. And then we start praising Hashem through musical instruments. So what does that mean? Well, first of all, it means that we're not praising Him with speech anymore. Right? We're hitting the end of Tehillim. I've used words as much as I can for 150 mizmorim to try to praise Hashem. And I've already noted in several places, L'gdula toin cheker, we mentioned last time, there are limits to my words. I'm not able to praise Hashem properly. I use the Aleph Bet because it approaches that kind of completion, but I can't do it very well. So at some point, you hit the end of the mizmor and you say, I give up. I can't use words anymore. I have to use other tools. One of those tools might be music. So, halu b'teka shofar, b'nevel v'chinur, b'tofu machol, b'iminim v'ugav, a wide gamut of musical instruments. We can spend a lot of time dissecting what exactly is each instrument here, which of them are, you know, are they symbols, different translations are different, what are tzaltzalim. But we have this sense of the gamut of music is being brought to praise Hashem as well. And finally, not only is the gamut of music being involved, but kol ha'nishama tal aliyah hallelujah. It's not even human beings using any mode of expression that they have. It's all of creation, literally every soul or every living thing, everything that has a breath, that has nishima. And it speaks to that universalization of what we're talking about. It's not me anymore. It's not us. It's not even all humans. It's all beings. It's all creatures. It picks up where Kuf Mem Chet left off, where the world was not successfully praising Hashem fully. The Aretz was supposed to praise Hashem, but maybe not doing it so well yet. By Kuf Nun, we're all doing it. It's completely comprehensive. And it's reflected in a few other sources. So for example, source number 8 is the Gemara in Brachot. And says, how do I know that you make a bracha on scents? What's the source for making a bracha on something nice that you smell, like besamim? Kol ha-neshama ta'alelka. Every soul praises Hashem. Ezu davar sha'neshama nehenit mimenu. What is something that only a soul benefits from, but a body doesn't? Scent is not perceived as like a bodily pleasure, like eating is. But it's some sort of a spiritual kind of pleasure. Well, that's reach. Reach is that spiritual pleasure that you make a bracha on. Kol ha-neshama ta'alelka ha-luka. Very interesting. It does feel more ephemeral, right? You might go even further and say, well, sight is really even more ephemeral. It doesn't engage your body at all. It's just hitting you from a distance. But just including that, it spreads. Everything here we're doing is trying to spread the net of that which is worthy of praise or that which we give praise to. We won't get to see this in detail, but I left you on the last page over here of the next sheet for me. Our collection of psukim that each mention some of the different instruments that are mentioned in this mizmor as well. And if you look at them, and especially look at their context, you see they're kind of coming from all throughout Tanakh, different references. So the shofar, well, you have the shofar at Har Sinai, you have shofar at the Geulah at the end of days, you have shofar when kings are inaugurated. The Ugav, well, the Ugav is one of, and the Kinor of the Ugav are two instruments that were created at the very beginning of the Torah, in Bereishit Perek Daled, when Yuval, or one of the sons of Cain, creates instruments. These are the first ones. So all the way back in creation, till all the way in the future, with the shofar that brings about the Geula, we have, you know, that spectrum. And we have some of the instruments that were involved in Nevi'im getting prophecy. We have some instruments involved in David's personal life. So we're just expanding through all of these references the scope and the extensiveness of praise. And as a way to end Sefer Tehillim, this is incredible, right? This is basically saying, we've written 150 chapters to try to get you to a point where you appreciate praising God properly, and you're able to do so. And Kuf Nun is this sort of optimistic, future-oriented vision where the entire world, with justice, and with an emphasis on Am Yisrael, but also with emphasis on the individual and on the collective, are able to praise Hashem properly in all of these ways. And so we say, Kol HaNeshama Tehillel Kahal Luka, that it's this completely comprehensive, ideal vision of what our relationship to Hashem is sort of meant to be. Now, something we get to say every day, I think this is, you know, incredible, because we started off talking about how this is sort of the prosaic praise, right? It's the praise for nature, for the things we see every day, for the natural cycles that we experience. But once we start reading them as more like the Mizmorim like this, as part of this progression towards a vision where Malchut Hashem is established clearly in the world, we talked about last time, and praise is something happening on Shamayim and on Aretz, and Yerushalayim is rebuilt, and we're in the Mikdash, and we're able to praise Hashem properly, and we're able to invite other nations to join us in this praise. So Pesukei Dezemra isn't just this daily praise that we sort of participate in because of our sort of prosaic normal lives, but it's also a model for what praise of Hashem looks like in the very end of human and Jewish history. And to be able to have that every day, I think, is really an incredibly powerful idea as well. With that, I think we'll end for today. It was